In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Today's Gospel is scene two in a little drama of contrasts here in Matthew 14. And we can't fully appreciate this scene two unless we recall scene one that immediately precedes today's passage. Remember Herod Antipas, more fixated on John the Baptist than President Trump is on Dr. Anthony Fauci. Scene one is all about unhealthy sovereign power and contempt for what God wants in the situation. There's Herod's outrageous, drunken, bragging promise to his friends. There's his enlistment of the dancing stepdaughter with more than a whiff of incest in the air. Then things escalate mimetically and the banquet takes a grisly turn with John the Baptist butchered off stage and his head brought in on a platter. Now that's scene one. It might be out of Game of Thrones, or Ozark, or from any one of many hellholes in the real world, near or far. Now, in light of this scene one, we can properly understand scene two in today's Gospel, because here we find ourselves at a different sort of banquet, with a different host. Jesus sees that his many guests are generously fed and cared for, enlisting the disciples' help. Compare this with the murderous sexual and political tension of Herod's banquet in scene one, climaxing in a blood sacrifice. Nothing of the sort here in scene two, where the new creation is revealed in all its alternative humanizing graciousness. And of course, this miracle story is more than a great episode in the history of catering. It's an imaginative picture of God's alternative dream for humanity. It looks back in its imagery to God feeding Israel in the wilderness with manna from heaven, from Israel's dreamtime narrative of the Exodus. And it looks forward to the Last Supper, hence to the Eucharist that we celebrate. Jesus' cross has exposed and defeated the whole politics of blood sacrifice, from Herod to Hiroshima and beyond. His resurrection puts the power and threat and fear of death on notice, so that humans can learn to relax with one another and to relax with God. The time of violent assertion and scarcity and self-preservation is over. Today's Gospel is an Easter banquet in advance, and our invitation to it came with our baptism. Isaiah, in our first reading today, gives us an earlier version of the same party, with a wonderful spread, plenty to drink, and all at no cost. His God is getting the band back together. Israel and its king are bringing a different vision of nation and politics back into the world, no longer overshadowed by violent domination and exile. As ever, our psalm is chosen to echo and reinforce the mood of our Old Testament reading, and Psalm 145 does not disappoint us with its beautiful hymn of confidence in God's promises. The same confidence extends to St. Paul in Romans today, who, while lamenting a falling away among his own people Israel, still clings firm to God's promise. Paul knows that Israel is failing, but according to God's promise, its future is secure in Jesus Christ. The same promise, Paul tells us today, that once prevailed despite Abraham's barren marriage, and then again despite the barren marriage of his son Isaac. So friends, here in the church and here in the Eucharist, we embody and we celebrate a counter-story, a counter-politics, and a counter-liturgy. Our scene too with Jesus as host offers a clear contrast to business as usual, as hosted by Herod and all his familiar ilk. To the all too familiar scene, one world of bragging, lust and murder. We're called to imbibe the scene too vision, and a proven way to do this is by adopting the practice of contemplation that Father Martin commended last Sunday. James Allison refers to contemplation as a political action, which he calls the detox of our Nuremberged imaginations. They certainly needed a bit of that imaginative detox at Herod's banquet before everything went to custard. And here we find our Christian calling to develop our Eucharistic imagination so we can join Jesus' disciples, making the scene two of today's gospel come alive in the midst of our scene one world. This is the church's mission in a nutshell: to inhabit the Eucharistic imagination in the midst of a non-Eucharistic world. And so we become genuinely transformative agents in the life of the world. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.